Today we've got a special guest. This song's a clue, but if you haven't guessed, it's the guy that Tony Kornheiser calls Junior. We'll talk about his dress pants size and the sales weasel's constant lies. And yes, we'll cover the wooden story too, yeah. Don't call him Junior, it's John Feinstein too, yeah. He's got books for you to read in the bathroom.
Welcome to the TK Jingles podcast for November 24th, 2014. I am your host, Jerry Negrelli. This podcast plays songs from the Tony Kornheiser radio show and tkjingles.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Hance Brothers and White's harmless, prompt, and pleasant remedy for indigestion, Gassoda. Gassoda blots out digestive stress. And on that note, John Junior Feinstein will be joining us today. I'm thrilled that John is here. We're going to talk about the wooden story, what his current pant size is, and some other awesome John trivia. I don't think that John has actually been on Tony's show since before the jingles started. So many of you listening to this podcast may have never even heard him on Tony's show or even be familiar with him. But John has a long history with Tony, a long history with the show. There's been 10 or 12 jingles about him specifically on the website. So I'm thrilled that he's here. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then in December, I have a very special guest lined up, and this is a bit, I don't know, divergent, hopefully not self-indulgent, but growing up in the 90s, listening to parody music on the Dr. Demento show, my favorite artist, because I'm a bit of an anti-establishment guy, I always thought Weird Al was good, but there was this other guy, Scary Gary Allen, who was an amateur. I had no idea at the time. I thought, hey, he's a contemporary of Weird Al, so I was always running around trying to find his albums that didn't exist. But he's got 20 or 30 songs that he did, and all of them are great. So Scary Gary is going to be on here in a couple weeks. We're going to play a few of those classic parody songs that inspired me when I was a teenager, and talk a little bit about this whole profession. So coming up sometime, probably the second week of December, I'm really excited about that. So make sure you download it. I'll be advertising on Twitter and everything. So up front, last week I mentioned that there was some horrible Triscuit story and I would have no part of it, but I was sure that there would be a ton of jingles about it. And sure enough, some of the top jingles of the week were about Triscuits. So we're going to play two of those up front. The Triscuit Hanky Panky, which Tony absolutely loved and mentioned on two shows. And then Luke Overbay with Baby Got Back about Tony got crackers, which is so ridiculous. So then once we get through the Triscuits moment, we'll have a few more traditional songs. So I did a parody of Maybe I'm Amazed. Then we have Joe with Where's My Paper? Patrick Moffitt with In the Doghouse Now. And then John Fitzpatrick with Tears of a Clown. So those are two Redskins tunes. And then Brad Weiss with Watching the Detectives. And then after that, we're going to have our interview with John Feinstein, followed by a few Feinstein tunes. And then we're going to play the number one song of the week, a couple bonus songs, and a great mailbag. It's going to be an awesome show.
Mr. Tony loves the sea salt Triscuits. Gene McManus loves rosemary Triscuits. Gary Braun likes Wheat Thins more than Triscuits. Nigel likes the boring water biscuits. Mr. Tony loves the sea salt Triscuits. He eats those things a whole box at a time. Yeah. Washes them down with a bottle of wine. He's at the kitchen sink standing all alone. I bet he's glad that nobody's home. They're just so tasty, yeah, they're really, really tasty. Oh, yeah. Mr. Tony loves the sea salt Triscuits. Gene McManus hates tomato Triscuits. Gary Braun can name 100 Triscuits. Whoever knew there were so many Triscuits? Mr. Tony loves the sea salt Triscuits.
Oh my god. Jeannie, taste this cracker. It is so bad. It looks like one of those brown rice Triscuits. But you know, who understands those Triscuits? I don't eat it because it's not a Ritz, okay? I mean, the cracker, it's just so bad. I can't believe it's just so square. It's like, I mean, it's gross. Look, it's just so black pepper.
I like Triscuits and I cannot lie. You nut butters can't deny that when a cracker has such a wonderful taste, I stuff it in my face, it's so yum. Wanna pull out a ton cause I notice that cracker's crunch. The chino jeans I'm wearing don't fit but I still ain't sharing. Oh baby, I wanna get fistfuls, you get the picture. This might make me a junkie but the taste it has
makes me so hungry.
My orange bald head don't want none unless it's sea salt, hun. You can do fire roasted tomato or try cranberry or sage, wheat, cinnamon, and sugar, but these just ain't my lane. So I toss it and leave it, but salt and pepper, I really need it. So this might make me fat, well I don't care about that. So my waist ain't small or close to Junior's, but this is just a rumor. So ladies,
yeah.
Ladies,
yeah.
If you wanna eat something tasty,
yeah.
Then grab a box, don't throw it out. Even the littles got to shout, Tony got crackers. Tony got crackers. Little bit of wine, but he got a lot of crackers. Little bit of wine, but he got a lot of crackers. A little red wine, but he got a lot of crackers. A little red wine, but he got a lot of crackers.
Maybe it's delayed, cause they think they'll make some cash. No, that can't be it, that idea's stupid. Maybe it's delayed, cause their heads are up their ass, or they're always smoking grass. Maybe it's delayed, cause they don't know how to work computers. I know I'm just a fan, but I'm sure I'm not the only fan who would pay a little something. Doesn't the station understand? Yes, I'm just a fan, and Sony, I know right now the weasels ain't listening, cause they don't really give a crap. Woo!
This morning I stumbled from my bed as thunder pounded my bald arch head, and I stepped outside, but it wasn't there. As I try to keep from blowing up, cause my paper's just not showing up, my delivery guy, he doesn't seem to care. Where's my paper? Why is it so late? I don't know how to plug in my computer. I need to get my paper sooner. Got a radio show and I must prepare. Gotta circle stuff, but it's not there. Hey, what's your name? Where's my post?
Got a QB named Ramblin' Rob. Used to run wild like a cat from a dog. He thought he was the fastest guy around. But his pace started slowing when both of his legs got broken. Now he struggles just to make a first down. He's in the doghouse now. He's in the doghouse now. His coaches have tried and tried. When you're running, Rob, gotta learn to slide. He's in the doghouse now.
So sick of that smile on your face. You put it there trying to fool the public, but when it comes down to win and lose, your record makes me sick to my stomach. But don't let there be misperceptions when you throw interceptions. Oh, I'm really mad. I'm mad and I'm sad. Hurts more 'cause the Bucks is so bad, and your mistakes are myriad. Well, there's some sad things known to man. Lose to the Bucks sure is one of them. Outplayed by McCown, season still spirals down. Start warming cold up.
I heard there was a wooden story that Junior told to Gene and Tori, but chicks don't care about Army football, do you? So he went into a clothing store and tried on each size 34 until the waist and stretched its length round Junior. We miss Junior. Bring back Junior. We miss Junior. Bring back Junior. That
was John Welsh with the lovely We Miss Junior Hallelujah, a song that inspired 9 further parodies of that wonderful Leonard Cohen song. And while we haven't been able to have Junior back on Tony's show, unfortunately, I'm happy to say that John Feinstein has joined us on the TK Jingles podcast. And we will now cut to the interview already in progress. And any audio quality issues that you hear here are on my side. So John had a fine connection, but we're on a shoestring budget here at the TK Jingles podcast. As you may have noticed, most sponsors are fake. So I apologize in advance, but I think the interview is wonderful. So I hope you enjoy it. Do you have any idea who I am or what this is?
You are a guy who does a thing on Tony's music.
All right. So first of all, I started listening to Tony's show about 5 or 6 years ago, and you were kind of this larger-than-life cartoon character on that show. I mean, just somebody that was referred to, you know, in a very positive way, but you always had great stories, and I always loved hearing you on there. And then, you know, in the last couple of years, you haven't been on there, and I think that's due to some issue with that station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it started very simply. The guys who were regulars on the show, Bob Ryan, myself, a couple other people, were always paid a minimal fee to, you know, put aside time every week and make sure we were in a place where we could get to a phone so that we could talk to Tony. And I got a phone call from Chuck Sapienza saying, well, we can't pay you anymore. And I just said, well, Chuck, you can pay me. Dan Snyder can certainly pay me. You're choosing not to. And he said, well, yeah, you know, I've just been given instructions. We're not going to pay any of our weekly guests anymore. And I said, you know what, that's wrong. You know, that's taking my time for granted. They'd already cut all the pay that we got, which Tony had called everybody and apologized for, and we're all like, okay, fine. And now they're saying we're not going to pay you at all. So I just said, fine. And I called Tony and explained it to him, and he said, if I were you, I'd do the same thing. So I left, and WJFK, the other sports station in town, was more than willing to take me on a couple times a week. So that's what I've done locally the last few years. Oh, and one other thing, just so for the record, Sapienza said to me at the time that any time I had a book out and that if Tony wanted to have me on, which he would, I could, of course, come on, not, and I would never ask for pay when I went on to talk about a book, to talk about the book. And then he reneged on that when my next book came out.
Oh, that actually was my follow-up question, because I know you've had a number of books come out recently, and I'm surprised we hadn't heard from him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's because Sapienza told Tony that I couldn't be on the show. His excuse is that I'm on a quote-unquote competing station, which is completely and utterly ridiculous, of course.
Of course. There was a lot of buzz this past weekend about your show. Is everything...
My contract was not extended at the end of the year. So December 17th, the show will go off, which I'm disappointed in. I thought we did a good show. CBS disagreed, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay. So now it sounds like you'll have more free time, even coming back to Tony's show.
Well, I'm not coming back if they're not paying me.
Right, based on that management.
I mean, the same issue. That doesn't change, and... plus, even if they did offer me some token pay at this point, I'm not sure I want to associate with Chuck Sapienza. I mean, I love Tony. We're still good friends. We talk all the time. But I think that, you know, that ship has sort of sailed.
One of the questions that I've always had, you know, given your relationship with Tony and the way that he's been characterized in some of your books, like in that last shot, Mystery of the Final Four book, did that situation that Tony... I mean, John, you're responsible for so many recurring jokes on his show. I mean, the amount, even though you're not there anymore, the amount of material that they still grouse about from yourself.
That's what I'm told. I can't listen, obviously, because I'm on the air at the same time.
You're busy at that time.
Right.
But so is that don't you have any idea who I am? Is that a true story? Is it based on something?
The exact true story is that I want to say it was 2007 or 2008. Tony was 2 years away from being eligible to vote for the Hall of Fame. You have to be a member of the Baseball Writers Association for 10 consecutive years in order to have a Hall of Fame vote. And this was, and nowadays, none of us who work for the Post, Tony was still at the Post at the time, are allowed to vote for the Hall of Fame. The Post just made that decision a couple of years ago, as has the New York Times. But back then, we were still allowed to vote. And Tony didn't go to a game all year. In like 2007, 2008, whatever year it was. And Peter Schmuck, who's a friend of mine, who Tony likes to call the aptly named Peter Schmuck, was chairman of the Baltimore Washington chapter of the Baseball Writers. And when the Post submitted its list of writers for that year, he wouldn't give Tony a card on the grounds that Tony hadn't attended a game. He was supposed to attend at least 25. They're pretty loose on that. I mean, as long as you show up for 7, 8, 10 games in a year, they're not going to give you a hard time. But Tony showed up at zero. So Peter wouldn't give him a card, and Tony wanted the card not to go to games, but because he wanted to vote for the Hall of Fame. So he did go to a game in Baltimore and got into a shouting match with Schmuck in the back of the press box, and everybody heard him very clearly say to Peter, "Don't you know who I am?" So from that moment, I created the scene in the hotel lobby where he yells at the hotel clerk, "Don't you know who I am?"
That's fantastic. One of the other recurring jokes on there all the time is a reference to your pant size, and I think there's a lot of debate about what that is.
It's 38 now, but when I said it was because I put on, since I started doing the radio, one of the good things about going off the radio is I'll get to start swimming again, and I because of the schedule in the mornings, I haven't been able to swim very much at all the last two and a half years since I started doing radio regularly. And I've probably put on 15 or 20 pounds. I've actually put on more. I've lost some. But it's 38 now. But when I said it was 36, it was 36. And I did, at a party, offer to take my pants off and show them to Tony with the little thing that said 36. And he chickened out.
And he wouldn't go for it, huh?
Nope.
All right. Okay, and then the third thing, as I mentioned earlier, the John Wooden story, something I'm asked about all the time. So would you mind, we have unlimited time and whatever here.
Yeah, this goes back to my second basketball book. And I was writing about the Final Four and everything that happens at the Final Four, and that the lobby at the coach's hotel is one of the big things there. And I described a scene that took place in 1984 in Seattle, when Coach Wooden was there with his wife Nell, who was dying at the time, and she was in a wheelchair. And most people knew that she'd come to the Final Four essentially to say goodbye to people. And it was late one night, it was after midnight, and Coach Wooden had been talking on one side of the lobby, he and his wife with several friends, and he started pushing her wheelchair across the lobby to go to the elevators. They were on the far side of the lobby from where the elevators were. And as they started across, somebody spotted them and just started to clap. And somebody else started to clap. And then the next thing you knew, everybody in the lobby was looking at Coach Wooden and his wife and clapping. And it wasn't one of those wooey, go get him, coach. It was just really respectful applause for arguably the greatest coach in history and his wife, who everybody knew what the circumstance was. And when it got to the elevator, he just stopped and turned her around so that they could both face where everybody was standing. And he just kind of waved his hand, and she waved her hand to say, "Thank you, we appreciate the sentiment." And it was totally spontaneous, you know. It wasn't anybody said, "Oh, let's all clap for Coach Wooden." And it was really one of the cooler things I've ever seen. So I wrote it in a book, and I retold the story on probably a few occasions. For all that's wrong with college, big-time college sports, and I don't think anybody talks about it more than me, that was a cool moment when everybody was sort of on the same page and everybody wanted to show respect for John Wooden and for Nell Wooden. And I know that, you know, I never knew John Wooden well. I did get to interview him on a number of occasions, but I was kind of choked up watching it, and I think a lot of other people were too. So that's why I told it as a story that shows that there can be cool moments at the Final Four, that the Final Four isn't just about, you know, people trying to make a buck off one another.
I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, John. But I also, on the podcast, as I mentioned, there's a lot of music. So if there are any, what's your favorite kind of music? I'll probably do some type of promotional music for the intro or something else.
Billy Joel or a chorus line. Take your pick.
They met as colleagues on 15th Street. They were both riders on the sports beat. They were the best among their peers. They parlayed riding into second careers. Tone called him Junior because of McEnroe. He was Mr. Tony because of his ego. And Kornheiser is kind of a jerk, because if they're such brothers, why can't he find another clip to play instead of that burp? But they were great on air together. I said they're great
were great on air together.
Mr. Tony. Here we go again with Mr. Tony. Every time I'm in the car, I try to put on this podcast, and about 5 minutes in, my wife asks me, "Is that the Tony Show again? Please turn it off. You're going to scare the children." And I say, "But we haven't finished Old Guy Radio yet." And she ends up next, and I want to know when to expect the next big snow.
Every day at 4 a.m., Tony reads the paper, reads the paper, front to back. Every day at 6 p.m., he's feeling drowsy, feeling drowsy, hits the sack. And my wife just sighs, and I see her eyes roll when he says what he ate last night. And my wife says she can't listen to the show, but she tried. She tried.
And Mr. Tony's talking about his aches and pains, and David's angry about the Redskins. Mark's doing that silly accent, and Gary keeps repeating that joke. And my wife turns to me and she says, "Okay, what's so special about this show?" And I said, "Nothing, truly nothing. There's not much sports and Tony's jokes are quite obscure. Yet somehow nothing is entertaining. And somehow it's the best show I've ever heard."
I wish I had pants. 36s, size 36 pants. Though nothing keep us from riding kitty mysteries, where Tony keeps whining. Oh, we can be junior just for one day.
I will be nice, and unless they pay, we can be junior just for one day. Oh, we can be here just for one day. Take some of that cash from Window Nation and pay the man. Why is Junior so stubborn? He won't do this show as a favor. You know it's simply not in his nature. Probably needs money for pants.
Once again, thank you to John Feinstein for taking a few minutes to talk to us today and share some old trivia about the Tony Show and the wooden story and everything else. I really had a lot of fun doing that. So now I'd like to end it with the number one song of the week, The Mickey Mouse Club by John, KJ, Brad, and Patrick. This song can be heard on the Top 10 podcast, along with the other nine great tunes that have been played the most this week, available at tkjingles.com. And then I've got a couple of B-sides here that have never been released, just some demos that I did. The first is my attempt to make good on a cappella tunes, a parody of The Meaning of Being Lonely, boy band song. But ultimately, I didn't like it. And then when I first went to visit Tony and Nigel and the gang in studio, I prepared a couple of songs to sing there and ultimately decided to do Good Riddance in the parking lot, of course, because they wouldn't let me sing in the studio. But the backup song that I had for that was Big Yellow Taxi. So here we have The Mickey Mouse Club, The Meaning of Being Lonely, and Big Yellow Taxi.
Who's the QB of the club that plays games in D.C.? Kirk Cousins, Colt McCoy, or is it RG3? Hey there, say there, Jay there, won't you say who it will be? Long lost Kirk, Colt McCoy, or is it RG3? RG3, Colt McCoy, RG3, who is Kirk? Forever let us ask Coach Gruden why? Come and play a fun new game called Who is RQB? Long lost Kirk, Colt McCoy, or is it RG3?
Here comes the mailbag of Mr. Tony. He'll read your emails, faxes, and notes. Tell me why I can't podcast today's show. There's some things we'll just never know.
Nigel and Gary said, come to the studio and meet Tony. Can't sing on the air, but you can sing in the parking lot. Mm-bop-bop-bop.
Getting your song on the air today takes everything you got. Now Mr. Tony's on vacation, you just don't have a shot. Wouldn't you like to hear it play? You know you gotta go where all the little see your name. And no one cares if you sound lame. You wanna go where you will know your song is always on. Go make a new friend down at tkjingles.com.
Thank you, Joe Arrow, for that wonderful TK Jingles song. So, all right, in the mailbag here, we didn't have any new reviews on iTunes or for any of the mobile apps, so if you are enjoying this podcast, please go leave a review on iTunes, and if you haven't checked out the mobile apps yet, they're available on iPhone, Android, and for some reason, Windows Phone, so go check it out. All right, the first here is an email from Alan Taylor. He says, I am forced to no longer listen to this podcast in my office. My secretary has given me strange looks when I suddenly break out in uncontrollable laughter and then am unable to explain the joke. Let's face it, how about all the popcorn shrimp you can eat in just one night just doesn't work out of TK context. However, how about all the popcorn shrimp you can eat in just one night is my new catchphrase. Thanks for being the conduit for all this amazing entertainment, Alan Taylor. Then we have a note here from Dan Gattuso. And Dan says, I'm sure you've been corrected ad nauseum about your gaffe on the podcast. But just to show you that I'm actually listening sometimes, It's All Right is by Curtis Mayfield in The Impressions, not by Huey Lewis in the News. And while I do make a lot of mistakes in this podcast, a lot of unchecked errors, that isn't one of them. I know that it originally was by Curtis Mayfield, but the specific a cappella version that we played last week that was just so well done was in the style of Huey Lewis. So I'm not sure what album that was on, but classic performance. Then when I, after Junior John Feinstein asked me to do Billy Joel or Chorus Line songs, I put a request out on Twitter to get some suggestions because I've done like 25 Billy Joel songs or something crazy. So I'm kind of running out of Joel songs to do without digging into the deep catalog. And there were three suggestions, Allentown, Pressure, and Goodnight Saigon. And it's funny because those are all from The Nylon Curtain that came out in 1982 and that I think is his absolute worst album, maybe The Bridge. Even Cold Spring Harbor I like more than that. So, those are good songs. Goodnight Saigon is a powerful song, and I always love Pressure. But as a whole, that's just not one that I enjoyed that much. I think that Turnstiles, that has been covered quite a bit on tkjingles.com, is probably my favorite. So I'll look to try to exhaust all the songs from there as much as possible before I revisit the Nylon Curtain. Then, let's see, we have a tweet here from Gregory Trieste. He says, "You know you're a TK Little when you see Buffalo Weather and hope Phil's mom is okay." And then Sonia says, "Giacomo Feeds Me Steak is stuck in my head. All your fault, KJ and Brad. We really should do Jingle Grammys." And I won't be giving out awards, but I probably will do some type of countdown or best of 2014 show sometime pretty soon, maybe even next week after Thanksgiving, just given the I probably won't be having time to record anything given the holidays. So we'll certainly do some type of countdown before the year is done. Then a note from Patrick Jones. He says, "There's a TK Jingles podcast? How have I missed this?" And I think we'll just leave it at there. So if you enjoyed this podcast, don't be a Patrick Jones. Tell your friends, well, if they like Tony's show anyway, but spread the word. I hope you're listening. You can always contact me at Jerry Negrelli on Twitter or podcast at tkjingles.com with a request, with feedback, with whatever else. As always, I encourage you to go to tkjingles.com, listen to the songs there. This podcast is hardly comprehensive. Folks love to get comments on their songs. They love to know that they're being listened to when you add them to your favorites list and stuff. So please go check it out. Download the mobile apps. And I'll be back here next week with a great show. And then sometime in December, we're going to have Scary Gary on. Nigel will be on someday. Maybe now that Junior has come on, he'll finally be guilted into making an appearance. But thank you for listening. I'm Jerry Negrelli, and I will talk to you soon.
I hope that you enjoyed the show and learned some things you didn't know, and that you understand why a few of us miss Junior. I don't know why John came on here. It was the low light of his career. So all I want to say is thank you, Junior. For the interview, yeah. Thank you, Junior. That'll do.
Speak a little more slowly and clearly, as if you're speaking to an unintelligent person.